Here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, I'm Brandon Peoples, chatting here today with Jason Smith. He is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. And recently, I understand some of your staffers took a trip to Washington, D.C. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that was about?
Yeah. So actually, it was our executive committee and the chair of our advocacy committee. And so they're all volunteers, and they were all taking their own time and spending their own resources. But on behalf of our community, and as we talked about earlier, you can't ever rest on what you have, and you always have to be working to protect what you have and look for opportunities to get more, quite frankly, for your community. And so, you know, the first thing, the basic things that we went in, and I think the first thing is you want to thank. We got a chance to meet with staff people in our delegation, all three, and so the first thing that we wanted to do is thank them for our recent awards and things that we got have received from the federal government to help. One of which has become very relevant to us this year, that we received the funding, at least the federal portion of the funding to raise the levy. And which is obviously we all understand now why the levy is really important. And so we wanted to make sure they knew how much we appreciated that from not just the city of Manhattan, but from our business community and residents and the long-term positive impacts that we think that's going to have on our community. But we had a couple other – well, the airport is another one. We're in the middle of looking at runway improvements at the airport, and so we wanted to kind of update them where we were through that process, because the runway has to be at some point has to be looked at. It hasn't been looked at in, I believe, over 50 years, and so we want to make sure that that's safe and available for future service, because that's so important to us in a number of different ways. But then the other two items revolve around, we have two significant institutions that rely on federal funding. One, of course, is Fort Riley, and just to, you know, we talk about economic impacts. The most recent number from Fort Riley is that it has a $1.5 billion economic impact on the Flint Hills, and so we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect what is there and look for opportunities to expand their mission and expand what may be available to put on Fort Riley. And that includes public and private. So what are some contractors that make sense, and where are those opportunities? And then the other one is Kansas State Research, MBAF. You know, the MBAF facility is and we've been talking about it now for over a decade, but it's nearly finished. And in June, they held their first job fair, and our understanding is they had over 500 people there that applied, and they're hiring their first roughly 100 people. But once that opens, we think there are a lot of opportunities to attract, encourage private collaboration. However, that's going to take some new way of thinking. And so what can we do, and what can our delegation do to help us work with Kansas State, work with Department of Ag, work with private industry, so that all these things that our hopes when we got the MBAF facility and when that announcement was made come to fruition, and we actually see that not only create the 300 jobs that will be part of that facility, not only attract, as we talked about earlier, the Department of Ag from Topeka, but what other private enterprise can we see that will either spin out, relocate, co-locate to be part of that as well. And so, again, our leadership is very involved in those issues, not only at the local but the state and the federal level. And I want to thank them for giving up 2 days of their time and using their resources to advocate on behalf of the city of Manhattan, our residents, and our businesses. And I thought it was a very successful trip.
Brandon, we seem to have some technical issues with our phone system. We've had a couple of folks that have been trying to get on, but not able to get the connection online. So if you've been trying to call in with a question for Jason, we're having some challenges with that, working on getting it resolved.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Well, that's obviously anytime you can get those kind of resources here and get the learning experience going to Washington, D.C. and meeting with federal leaders, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and I think as important as making sure you meet with the delegation is really keeping the staff of those folks informed of what's going on, because they do a lot of the legwork and they do a lot. They're the ones that are kind of the ears for our elected officials in a number of those meetings. And so if you don't keep them aware, because, you know, a lot of people will say, well, we can see the delegation when they come back and visit. And that's true. And we do that as well. But we also want to make sure that their staffs understand what the issues in Manhattan are, because particularly if you're talking to a U.S. senator who represents the entire state, they have a lot of cities and a lot of communities that they're working with and a lot of issues. But even when we talk about our congressmen and we're in a huge congressional district, if we don't keep the staffs aware of what our issues are, that creates a bigger challenge. And because I think as great as our delegation is, to think that they individually are going to be able to do, that's why they have staffs, right? That's why they have people who help them. And so as much information as we can get to them, as much information as we can get from them, I think just only helps our chances moving forward. I will also say we had an opportunity on that trip to meet with the representatives from the U.S. Chamber who are working on some core issues that we have interest in. One is infrastructure is such a big deal to states and cities all over the country. And we've heard a lot about that in discussions between the president and Congress about trying to develop an infrastructure plan. Obviously, politics gets in the way of that a lot of times, but it was good to get an update on what their view of that was. And then we also had a chance. The state of Kansas has a full-time person in D.C. that handles our military affairs issues, and we were able to get a briefing from their team, and it was very enlightening in terms of things that maybe we were unaware of, because they tend to be more bigger issues than what you hear from people at the fort. So, yeah, I thought it was a great visit. We have another group that goes in the fall, and they will attend the Army Association annual conference, which we're members of. And they will also visit the delegation and the staffs at that time, too. And that one will center a lot more on military because of who's going and because of why they're going. But it's also an opportunity to get a different set of people there and really delve in more into some of the military issues.
Well, one of the things I think it was last week it was announced was USDA relocating some of its research headquarters into the Kansas City area, mm-hmm. and Manhattan's part of the Animal Health Corridor. I guess we're right on the edge from it goes from here to Columbia, Missouri. But you know, just kind of curious, what impact might we see from that?
Well, obviously, we were huge supporters of that project. We, I think, initially we were part of the Kansas proposal, and so we did submit a site in Manhattan, and used the fact that MBAF was here and the Kansas Department of Ag had moved here, and you know all the and then of course Kansas State and all the assets that we have here. We were eliminated early on, first wave of that process, and I believe it got down to three cities: Raleigh, Durham, Kansas City, and somewhere in Indiana. I don't remember exactly where. So once that happened, because of our affiliation with the Animal Health Corridor, because of our strong affiliation with KC Economic Development, we became supporters of their proposal, and Kansas State, along with I believe five other land grant schools in the region, so Oklahoma State, Missouri, Iowa State, Nebraska, five schools submitted to be part of that as well. And as you, the day after we were there, I was teasing our board that we closed it. You know, we were there and we closed the deal. But they announced it the day after we left. They obviously have some political challenges to get through there. There's a large contingent of not only current employees but people who are representatives of states in that region who have decided they're going to do everything they can to fight it. I believe that's politics and short-sightedness. To me, it makes sense to put people who are researching these kind of issues in this part of the country because that's where we live those issues. And then to have the partnership with probably five of the top land-grant schools in the country only makes that opportunity to better for those operations. And so we continue to support it. We think it's a great idea. Our delegation supports it. We don't know exactly if it's going to be in Kansas or Missouri. If you know, I think they've left that open. So that'll be an interesting dynamic to watch. But we do know that it will create new opportunities for Kansas State. And in fact, part of the announcement that the Secretary of Ag made, he specifically cited proximity to Kansas State and Missouri as one of the reasons why they chose that location. And so we'll continue to look for opportunities to leverage that into some additional jobs and investment for Manhattan as well.
Awesome. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. That was a major announcement last week and a good one for this region of the country. Let's take a break. More In Focus after this on News Radio KMAN.